Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
See how I leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. The scars.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, for allowing me the opportunity to update you on the issue of Navarre Incorporation. As y'all know, there's a group of constituents who are asking me to run an incorporation bill next session. This group has already met all statutory requirements to be considered for incorporation, and the next step would be for them to submit their feasibility study to the Florida legislative staff by the first week of September, where it will be meticulously scrutinized objectively by staff members in the state affairs silo. This entire process is handled exclusively at the state level.
So this is Dr. Joel Rubin, who is the state representative for District 3, which is most of Santa Rosa County, except for kind of the beach and midway Gulf Breeze areas, which are under the current redistricting, are Alex Andrade. He had a lot of that before, but, you know, it's kind of been expanding as the population and shifting. Talking, as you heard, about the prospect of Navarre Incorporation. Again, seems like every other year or so in the 10 years that I've been here, and I don't think it just started 10 years ago, but this is it's not quite perennial, but it's sort of like biennial. You know, it seems like every 2 to 3 years this comes back again. And I was kind of curious what his position on this is, and he's basically taken close to but not exactly the same position as the former District 3 Representative J.R. Williamson, but here's what he says.
However, I have added one extra requirement that the pro-incorporation group must meet. One more hoop for them to jump through, if you will, before I even get the state involved in this process. Since I wish to do the will of the people that I represent, I am asking this pro-incorporation group to show me proof of majority support within the affected catchment area.
So it's kind of a weird one, and I always thought it was weird that JR required this too, but we're going to have a poll of some kind among the people so that we can know whether the people who will be voting on incorporation are going to vote on incorporation by voting on it before they're voting on it. We're going to have a pre-vote and then a real vote. And in the in-between, we're going to have, you know, analysis and process of the state machinery working its way through and, you know, analysis of the feasibility and all of that. And so they're ready to go, but that's not good enough for me. I want to know whether the people want it, but they have to tell me they want it before they really tell me they want it. It's like a promise ring and then an engagement and then you get married. I don't know. It's weird to me that they have this extra step. I get that he doesn't want to violate the will of the people and put forward something that people don't want, but the way you really find out if people want it is by putting it forward and then letting them vote on it, in my opinion. The pre-straw poll is kind of a weird extra step to have, but again, this has been the tradition for J.R. Williamson, so it's not all that surprising. By contrast, for example, Alex Andrade in, you know, the We Are Perdido movement to incorporate Perdido didn't require a straw poll ahead of time to prove that they wanted it. They went through the process, the feasibility study was really not good, and so they're punting to come back in the future date, but he's not requiring, you know, second round of democracy, so to speak.
Now, there are many different ways of showing that majority support, but to me, the easiest way is by a non-binding referendum on the November ballot this year. Now, only the county commissioners are allowed to put such questions on the ballot. Therefore, Commissioner Eddington, I would fully expect the pro-incorporation group to start petitioning you to put this item on an upcoming agenda. I would imagine probably by the end of July.
Yeah, so, you know, Ray Eddington's District 4, Navarre is in his district, although, again, in Santa Rosa County, everybody represents everybody, so anybody could put this on the ballot. It doesn't have to be him, but it's kind of a, there's a little bit of deference in Santa Rosa County. Actually, it's always kind of weird to me that the level of deference to in-district in Santa Rosa County is about the same as in Escambia County, even though in Escambia you actually have in-district. Like, Lumen May can vote on Perdido or Pensacola Beach, but he does not represent Perdido or Pensacola Beach since they cannot vote for him. I mean, right now, District 4, Pensacola Beach, doesn't have a representative. Literally nobody votes for them. But, you know, that's a separate topic. But in Santa Rosa, where everybody votes for everybody, you just have to live in district. There's still that same level of deference, which I've always thought was a little bit odd. But, okay, there is one additional thing that he's putting in here, and I actually like this one. I don't agree with the straw poll. I think that's, you know, like you got to double prove your democracy. But I really like this one, though.
Now, keep in mind, there is another caveat that y'all need to keep in mind. I have told both groups, both the people for incorporation and those against incorporation, that I will only entertain this argument once during my tenure in the legislature. In other words, gentlemen, they get one shot at this.
I like this because it means that you don't have to, if you're against incorporation, continually defend against it every year. Or if you favor it, that you have to continually hold out the hope that somebody's going to come along. In his words, you only get that one chance.
Don't matter, he's dope. He knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the lab.
Wait, there's not mobile homes in Navarre, are there? Yeah, there are. Go to the east side, baby. Come on, you know it's coming. That's right. He was singing about Navarre from 8 Mile. 517 here on News Radio Pensacola. I think if anybody, Joel Rubman would appreciate that. He's a rocker. Okay, back to the actual comments, though. I couldn't resist. He says everybody should like this. Pro and con should like this idea.
I think that I would also expect, knowing this, that the anti-incorporation movement, Commissioner Eddington, would probably also demand an up or down vote, because this is their opportunity to put this issue to rest once and for all for the remainder of my tenure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's something about the idea that if you live in an unincorporated part of the county and you resist incorporation, you shouldn't have to always be paying so much attention to make sure they don't do this again. Just like, you know, if you live in a community that's threatened by a weird development, you shouldn't have to always be reading every single commission agenda in order to figure out if are those developers coming in with some secret plan this week or not. You know, like, the de facto status quo should be fairly secure until such time as an appropriate change comes along. And it really is silly to have to be talking about this again and again and again and again all the time. So he's like, all right, you know, you get your one chance, your one vote. Let's do your one vote, and then don't bother me again as long as I'm in office. The next person can do whatever they want. And I agree with him.
I believe that as Americans and as Republicans, we don't want a government that dictates down to its citizens. We believe in a government for the people, by the people. And I just simply can't think of anything more American than asking the citizens of Navarre directly for their input on how they wish to be governed.
Yeah, agreed. Seems like don't base on phone calls and emails and people who show up and are loud at public meetings, which is all very misleading and not particularly helpful, and certainly not the way authority flows in the United States of America. He says, let's have an actual vote. Now, there's always going to be a little bit of drama involved in these things, and there was some drama involved in this meeting yesterday because people had their signs. There was a lot of people in the audience with signs. And we've talked before about how Santa Rosa County in general is more, boisterous. Then not always, I mean, you know, Escambia can be boisterous, but the Escambia commissioners really try hard to keep everything in order and sometimes effectively, less at other times. But in Santa Rosa, it's just a little bit more, I don't know, fun, you know, sometimes. So Kerry Smith didn't like the way the signs seem to be used in a way that would impede other people's vision, which is kind of a prohibition they have in the rules and of meeting process.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Commissioner.
Smith.
We have people putting signs up in the air, out in that. That's clear violation. We don't need to be blocking views from people behind those signs. That's in our guidelines. So let's call.
Well, I just want to say there's a lot of excitement here. And this is America, and this is freedom. And unless a member complains about it, I saw all of the. You got the No Ink group sitting right next to the Pro Ink group.
I saw a lady asking someone.
And I see them all getting along, and it's positive. And so, I would say that unless there's some incident which I didn't see, I would say that. This county is a freedom county.
This is freedom county. Let the signs wave. You couldn't maybe see the woman who was upset because the sign was in the way, but okay. I mean, whatever. It's not a big, but it did lead to a little bit of a funny moment because James Calkins chairing the meeting. And if you were hoping for a catastrophe, you didn't get it. It was just ever so slightly slower in some parts because he wanted to make sure to get it right, and I give him credit for that. It's a stressful thing to chair a meeting. I don't think it was his first time chairing, but, you know, Sam Parker was out, so he was chairing it. There was kind of a drama moment that came up shortly thereafter, though. The other voice you're going to hear is going to be Colton Wright here in just a second, but this is James Calkins, you know, election pontificating or meandering, rambling, freedom-loving, whatever it is he was doing here.
Just had the doctor up here. Basically, you know, he's fighting at the state level for freedom. And so I think, and then we got some folks in the audience that are fighting for their own freedom. And so I respect both sides as long as they don't beat each other up. Please don't beat each other up. But,
I mean, it's a little funny, but what? Good reminder, sir. We don't have fighting in the commission room.
But.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's been going on at this for, you know, not quite a minute, 40 seconds or so. He's going on about freedom and loving people and signs waving and chuckling. And
we can have a great meeting.
Mr. Administrator, will you come and get me when public forum resumes, please?
Now, that was because he was sick of hearing James Calkins ramble on about signs and freedom and love and the Freedom County and all that kind of stuff. He hates the electioneering stuff. He hates the politicking stuff from the dais. And I'm not quite sure. It seemed a little bit of a short fuse to me for Colton. But I know it's grating to sit there and listen to him talk. I thought that was a little quick. Just my own personal taste that he got up and left the dais and basically said, you know, hey, when we're actually doing business again, come get me. And they got right back to public comment immediately thereafter. So it was just kind of an odd moment in the meeting. I will say this. The one thing about I mean, the straw poll, I think, is a little silly and unnecessary. You could go to the state and have them work on the feasibility study. A lot of the opposition to this is we don't want more government. We don't want more taxes. We don't want a bad feasibility study. People don't know what they're voting on. And those are all arguments to be hashed out on the question of whether you incorporate or not. I actually don't have a position on incorporation either, unless I live there. And I don't live in Perdido, and I don't live in Navarre. So I'm like, you know, if they tried to incorporate where I live in Escambia County, I mean, show me the particulars. You know, I'm fairly happy with what I got now, but show me the details. You know, what do you think you can offer that we're not getting now? I don't know. But the thing that is interesting about this is the Navarre Beach leaseholders, a guy named Gary Broker, is at least how he said it, if I'm not misunderstanding. He said, we're not sure whether we want to be part of this or not. And we're worried that we're only going to be like 3% of the voters that are going to be in the actual election. And so we can't really stop it if everybody else wants it. And we are worried that we're going to get dragged into this, even though we're not really Navarre. We're Navarre Beach. And I agree with him about that, that there ought to be, you know, Navarre Beach almost ought to be its own separate question. In fact, almost what you ought to do is exclude the beach for the first incorporation vote, maybe for the straw poll vote, you know, and then... But set it up so that, like, if Navarre Beach votes no in the straw poll, Maybe this is the advantage of the straw poll. If Navarro Beach votes no on the straw poll, then they're out for the official vote. You know, make a way for them to sever from Navarre proper, if you want to think of it that way. It's not really a city yet, but some way to give them the ability to opt out, because I agree. I don't think that you should drag Navarre Beach into it, because they really are, I mean, a separate community, and I don't think they should be forced to be a part of incorporated Navarre if they don't want to be. Now, everybody else always has to deal with this, because if you're in an area that's incorporating, you don't want to, well, tough for you if the majority rules. I kind of agree with that concern about Navarre Beach. 525 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
What does it take to be a Blue Angel? Passion, precision, accuracy, just like how they handle your money at Stuart Markey Group of 72 Capital Wealth Management. From private wealth management to customized estate planning and retirement, you can trust them for comprehensive financial planning. Through this process, you can build and preserve your wealth, leaving you with more time to be inspired. 72 Capital Wealth Management, dedicated to achieving your most important financial goals. Visit them online to start today at 72capital.com.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bob, I got a bad feeling on this one, all right? I mean, I got a bad feeling. I don't think I'm going to make it out of here. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Everybody got to die sometime, Red.
All right, John, you've been around about as long as I have. Do you recognize this song?
I do recognize it. But I'm just, it slips my brain who it is.
It's Yaz. And, or Yazoo if you're British. It's the B-side to Nobody's Diary. It was included on the North American release of the album, but not on the original. So, just you know, I stumbled across this one the other day, and I'm going through all of this old music from bands I like and just trying to listen to all the albums, you know. I'm like, oh, that's a good song. I like that one.
That's a good thing.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
527 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Hurricane Beryl is now weakened into Tropical Depression Beryl. It's as of the latest update from the National Hurricane Center, the storm was located northeast of Tyler, Texas, and its winds have died down to about 35 miles an hour sustained. The White House releasing a letter yesterday from President Biden's doctor after a contentious press briefing on Monday over visits to the White House by a Parkinson's disease specialist. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters that the president is not being treated for Parkinson's disease, but did not reveal much more than that. Then last night, the White House put out a memo from presidential physician Dr. Kevin O'Connor. He said there were no findings consistent with cerebellar or other neurological disorders such as stroke, multiple sclerosis, or Parkinson's.
And there was this big drama moment in the White House press conference yesterday when, you know, I think it was the Fox guy was just kept pestering her about, you know, well, who did he see? Who did he see? And she's like, I'm not going to tell you who the Parkinson specialist who comes all the time to the White House to see all kinds of different people. I'm not going to tell you this person's potentially got Parkinson's. That's like national security and HIPAA violation stuff. So, I mean, I actually kind of agreed with her, you know.
Absolutely.
They say he only saw Biden for his once a year physical, and, you know, that's all there is to it. So, okay.
And the San Francisco Giants, Andrew, hosted a memorial service yesterday for Baseball Hall of Famer Willie Mays at Oracle Park. Of Of course, he died on June 18th at 93 years old. Among those at the service were MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, May's godson, Barry Bonds, and even former President Bill Clinton was there.
Very cool. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. But it was CBS's Ed O'Keefe. It wasn't Fox. I apologize for that. 437, who was, you know, fighting with her a little bit yesterday. What else do we have going on? Oh, Bands on the Beach tonight. Bands on the Beach will be performing 7 o'clock, Gulfside Pavilion. Every Tuesday night, of course, you have Bands on the Beach. And tonight, we've got, let's see, Still Standing is going to be playing at 7 o'clock. So always a good time there. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Sheriff Bob Johnson. We talked to him yesterday. Always good to hear from the sheriff about things that are going on. And, of course, one thing will have changed, which is the funeral service for the deputy who passed away. That took place yesterday, as you probably are going to hear David share some audio from that ceremony that took place yesterday. We'll be back with that in just a minute.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The fallout from the disastrous debate for President Biden. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Has the president been treated for Parkinson's? No. Is he being treated for Parkinson's? No.
Fox's Brooke Singman has more in a report by the Wall Street Journal.
The new report detailing a time that the president missed a meeting with the German chancellor because he had to go to bed. The article says, quote, German officials aware of Biden's fatigue at night sought to accommodate the president by planning a June 2022 event with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in the early evening. Biden didn't show, surprising the chancellor and his aides.
A number of Texas counties, including Harris, the home to Houston, are without power this morning. Barrel blasting the region, leaving at least 7 dead and more than 2.3 million outages across the Lone Star State. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. It's a cloudy morning here in Pensacola today. We've got 82 degrees right now. Groups both for and against the incorporation of Navarre are expected to petition the Santa Rosa County Commissioners to put a non-binding referendum on November's ballot. State Representative Joel Rudman says that would be the easiest way to determine whether the effort to incorporate Navarre should advance to the state legislature.
Any incorporation proceedings would have to clear at least 2 House committees, normally 3, as well as be voted on by the entire Florida House. It would then have to pass the Florida Senate as well, only to be returned back to the district to be voted on by the people of Navarre in one final binding referendum.
And Rudman says he's told the pro-incorporation group that as long as he's their representative, he'll give them one chance to make their case. The Santa Rosa County Commissioners are the only ones allowed to put a non-binding issue on November's ballot. Well, a celebration of life service held for Sergeant Jason Rickman yesterday. He's a 26-year veteran of the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office.
He wasn't scared of anything. He was not scared of any man. And if you called for help, he would be there for you. And that's what every cop strives for reputation-wise. And he was just above and beyond.
And the sheriff's office called Rickman a friend to all, an avid fisherman who loved all of God's creatures, large and small. FDOT says a portion of Scenic Highway will be closed starting this Sunday as part of a nearly $5 million project. Crews will be closing Scenic just north of Manilead Street for 18 days. Drivers will be detoured using Langley Avenue, Spanish Trail, and Summit Boulevard. It's just one part of a project that is milling and resurfacing Scenic Highway from I-10 south of Hyde Park Road. The Florida Financial Impact Estimating Conference now considering the positive and the negative economic impacts of the abortion ballot amendment. If Amendment 4 were to pass in November, abortion would no longer be limited to a 6-week ban.
Even if the conference ultimately determines that it cannot exactly estimate future costs and expenses, it can and should make known to voters the types and causes of likely negative fiscal impacts that Amendment 4 would cause.
And it was also suggested that if the 6-week abortion ban were to stay in effect, there would be a probable cost savings due to fewer abortions in the state. First Lady Jill Biden was in Tampa yesterday at an American Legion post discussing veterans programs. She also addressed reports that some Democrats have called on President Biden to drop his reelection bid. She said Biden has made it clear he's staying in the race. It is 5:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We will see some scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a 70% chance of rain, especially later in the afternoon. High today near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. Rain chances staying high as we go through Wednesday morning. 60% chance of rain. High on Wednesday afternoon near 92 degrees. Lows Wednesday night near 78. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 80 in Pensacola, also 80 in Gulf Breeze, 80 in Milton, our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio, Pensacola.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Shares of oil giant BP traded in the UK are 3% lower this morning after the firm warned lower margins at its refineries will weigh on its upcoming earnings report. BP is targeting at least $2 billion in cash cost savings by the end of 2026. Weaker margin in fuels and lower gas and oil prices impacted BP's results in the first quarter as well. Eli Lilly has agreed to buy biopharma company Morphic for $3.2 billion. In the deal, Lilly picks up experimental therapies for inflammatory bowel disease and other chronic illnesses. Morphic's stock is up 1% pre-market after soaring 75% yesterday. On Wall Street, can the S&P 500 and NASDAQ hit another batch of record highs? The averages did so again yesterday, with the S&P closing up 5 points to 5,572. Futures are higher again today. Fed Chair Jay Powell will address Congress this afternoon. That's Your Money Now.
Here in Pensacola, we love our Blue Angels, and we'll get to watch their spectacular performance at the Pensacola Beach Air Shows in July. But how much do you know about the fascinating history of the Blue Angels? Did you know the original name of the team was the Blue Lancers? Did you know that the Blue Angels shot down Japanese Zeros during air shows? Did you know that Fat Albert once saved lives by preventing a plane crash at sea? Take to the skies and learn these interesting stories, plus lots more, as News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 presents The History of the Blue Angels, every weekday morning at 8:15 and afternoons at 4:15 through the 12th of July. This special broadcast is presented by Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. It's The History of the Blue Angels, every weekday morning at 8:15 and afternoons at 4:15. On News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Blues at the Beach is back this weekend. On your way to the show, both Friday and Saturday, listen to News Radio 92.3 for traffic information and special programming from the beach, including the broadcast during the Blues Saturday performance. Autism Pensacola presents Sensory Street, Sunday at the Museum of Commerce. For more information, please visit autismpensacola.org. Submit your nonprofit event at newsradio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Morning, 5:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday we had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. And by the way, just again, just one quick note is, in this interview, I asked him about the sergeant who passed away, for whom the funeral service was actually yesterday. So we're talking about this today, but it was actually yesterday. And just when you hear that part, don't be confused about all that. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Just a quick follow-up on pretty sad news that we talked about last week, but Sergeant Rickman, who had passed away, the funeral, that is today, is that right?
Yeah, today at 11 at Pace Assembly of God.
All right, and that is open to the public?
If we can fit them in there. Okay. I'm thinking we're going to have a packed house.
I gotcha. Yeah, which is very normal. And, you know, I'm sure a reminder to your folks how much our community supports you and everything that you do. And, you know, obviously in a sad moment, it still brings out some of the best response in people, right?
Yes, definitely.
You guys had an incident, I think, overnight or last night that was a kind of a domestic relationship-related kidnapping. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a guy who basically got in a domestic with his girlfriend and took the girlfriend's children and took off in a car. Our deputies found the car in another location empty, so they got the bloodhounds out, which, you know, our bloodhounds never miss. They tracked them to a house where we took the guy into custody and got the two kids back to their mom where they belong. So it was a good good bunch of police work from a good bunch of deputies and a couple of good bloodhounds.
Wow, that's really scary. Do we know kind of the circumstances of how it started? Like, you know, how did he come to be in custody of the kids in the first place, or do we know yet?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I just, from what I gathered was he forcibly took the children.
Ugh.
So, yeah.
Well, that sounds to me like something that's not very common, thank God, but I'm right about that, right? That's not very common, right?
Yeah, I've been sheriff since 2017. That's the first one I know of. So, yeah, it's not very common.
Wow, but what a scary thing for her to go through, obviously, and dealing with all of that. So, man, good police work. I'm glad that everybody is safe in the end, if maybe a little scared for the situation, but glad that that's not the case. I did want to ask you, the governor had vetoed a bill that I was surprised he vetoed, but then I read his explanation for it, and I get his explanation. It was the left lane driving bill. And so as I understand it, currently in a 65 plus speed zone, you cannot impede traffic in the left-hand lane. So if people are trying to go 80 behind me and I'm only going 75, I got to get over. That's correct, right?
That is correct, yes. And, you know, he did veto that one. But like you said, that we can still do the impeding traffic violation if we have to. And, you know, that's the thing I hear most about when I go around and I talk to people in Santa Rosa County. You know, they hate people in the left lane just sitting there, you know. And it's not just doing 75 and a 70. A lot of times you'll get somebody in there who's doing, you know, 45 and 55. Mm. And it gets frustrating and it looks like a funeral procession behind them. And we can still write a ticket for that. So the only time you're really supposed to be in the left lane is if you're passing or about to make a left-hand turn.
Yeah, and that's what the bill would have made it a crime, essentially, or a moving violation,
right?
Anyway, to be in the left-hand lane unless you were actively engaged in passing. I just know that a lot of times, like on I-10 particularly, and I know, you know, I think you guys help out on interstate policing, even though it's mostly FHP.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if only they made the right lane more drivable.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's frustrating for everybody. It really is. You've got people who are trying to do the right thing and maintain the speed limit or go a little under, because people don't realize when its speed limit is 70, that's the limit. It's not that you have to do 70. You can do 65 or 60. I think the minimum speed on the interstate is like 50. So, you know, it's just they think everybody should be doing a minimum of 70, which is, you know, not the case.
Now, sir, I have lived in Florida for 10 years, and I think that you must just be wrong about this, because everywhere I go, people treat it like a minimum. Are you sure that's the law?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's the law, and you are correct. Everybody treats it like it's the minimum, but no, it's actually the speed limit. Limit being that's the maximum you should be going.
I got it. Hey, last thing I did want to ask you about is, you know, I know we talk obviously every week with you and with Sheriff Simmons as well. Escambia County has recently changed their chase policy in the sense of, for a long time, you know, minor crimes were allowed to go, or, you know, stolen cars in particular might be allowed to go. But because stolen cars have become so affiliated with the drive-by shootings and gang violence and shootings in general, they're no longer doing that. They are chasing. I mean, obviously, forced felonies, everybody always has chased those because that's, you know, for obvious reasons. Have you guys changed your chase policy at all, or your pit policy at all?
I changed it when I got elected, though, so it's been in place for a while. Our guys are, most of our guys and gals out there on the street are trained in pit, and we have, if you look at our cars now, all the cars you see out there, the marked vehicles, have those bumper guards around the front of them.
Right.
And that's exclusively for, you know, pitting vehicles. So our you know, policy basically states that if you're in a position where it's a stolen car or whatever, and you know they're probably going to run, to initially get up on them quick and pit them as quick as you can and put them in a ditch, and then we'll take care of the foot chase later.
Okay, so you guys had already been at that same level as the Escambia County Sheriff's Office is at now. Is that kind of what you think, your perception?
Yeah, but also too, if they're not in a if they're not in a situation where they can pit, because people think, well, if you're trained in pit, you can pit them wherever. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you have to take into consideration the traffic around you, the speed. I mean, if you do a pit at 70 miles an hour, that's deadly force, because you put them in a ditch at 70 miles an hour and they're not wearing a seatbelt and go through the window, they're going to die. So it's still not on, you can't just pit people no matter what. And our thing is this, we don't have the drive-bys like they do in Escambia, thank goodness. So we don't deal with a lot of stolen vehicles. I would say we recover maybe 5 to 10 stolen vehicles in a month, whereas in Escambia County, I'm sure it's a lot higher because they have a higher population. So, so we don't have to deal with the drive-by shootings and stolen cars on the same level they do. So I understand Chip's reasoning behind, you know, what he's saying, because it definitely over there, I'm sure most drive-bys occur in stolen vehicles because people don't want them tracked back to them.
Right.
So it makes perfect sense, increasing your pit maneuvers and increasing the chases over there.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And that's helpful for context and thought and, you know, the situation-dependent judgment. So, Sheriff Bob Johnson, perfect. Thank you so much for answering questions, for always being here available for us and keeping us safe. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much, sir.
Yes, sir. Take care, Andrew.
Always. 547 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, where to go, who to look at, I don't know, trust the license plate frames and the bumper stickers. You say, what? I say, well, okay. You hear Dave Ramsey talk about Frontier Motors. You hear me talk about Frontier Motors. You probably know some friends who've gotten a car from there. And you think, well, that's, you know, a handful of people. And those are endorsements. And okay. Do a survey. The survey is when you're driving around town, you know, and you're listening to me and you kind of want something else to also take up your attention, specifically look for bumper stickers and license plate frames that say Frontier Motors, the little vinyl ones on the bumpers. And as you look around, here's what I think you're going to find. You may not see any the first day. You might. I don't know. But when you're at a light, just take a peek. You know, look around. Second day, you're going to be like, there's one or two. Third day, there's three or four. And by the end of the week, you probably think, I want to stop seeing them. There are so many. Did anybody buy a car anywhere else? And that's true because they've been around for, you know, a long time. And they've been giving out license plate frames and bumper stickers for a long time. And those are endorsements of people who drive around you. Right? Strangers. I mean, you could know them. It's always possible, people in your neighborhood. But the point is, they have been serving people and making them happy about buying good quality used cars for a long time. And people like the product and keep going back and the service. And I know I do. I mean, I had such a good experience. I can't imagine buying a used car from anybody else, or a car from anybody else, frankly. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them the bumper sticker sent you.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill.
It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio-dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my three sons are my law partners. We have five offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
At Pinner Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinner Credit Union, because at Pinner, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at pinner.org/carloan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinner Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Culver's could have only started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland, like the real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers, the farm fresh dairy in their fresh frozen custard, made fresh daily at each restaurant, or try their lemon ice, back for the summer with your favorite fruit added in. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway at Softly Field, Bayou Boulevard at Cordova, and Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery now available through DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work. No matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan, take it to the place that Andrew McKay and Dave Ramsey recommends. Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway, and also on Pensacola Boulevard. Be sure to tune in to News Radio Pensacola on Friday at 2 p.m. and Saturday at 2 p.m. to listen to the narration of the Blue Angels Fly on Pensacola Beach.
Happy, the ball itself has its own energy, or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the home. So why don't you send them home?
Good morning, 5:52 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the U.S. military is pulling out of Niger. Troops formally withdrew from a major airbase in the African nation yesterday. It's the first of two planned withdrawals since the government fell to a military coup last year, and the U.S. was ordered out since taking over the military junta has pursued closer ties with Russia.
Okay, I got a legitimate, I don't know the answer to this question
All
on
right.
pronunciations. So it's Nigeria,
right?
But it's Niger.
Well,
can somebody explain?
Yeah, it is.
Because I cannot explain.
Well, and if you look up the proper pronunciation, you'll get like 10 different answers.
Oh, no. The Google is terrible at telling me how to pronounce things. In fact, it's almost like if you want to know how not to pronounce it, ask Google how to pronounce it.
Exactly.
Because some AI voice is going to give you something that's probably going to get you beat up most of the time, I think. So, but no, seriously, I don't understand why, but, you know. Anyway, go on, sir.
There are a number of Hyundai dealers now suing the car maker, claiming the company inflated sales for electric vehicles and punished dealers that wouldn't participate in that deception. The lawsuit was filed in Chicago. It says Hyundai put pressure on dealers to misuse inventory codes, to make it seem like more electric vehicles were being sold.
And you mean there's like election fraud around electric vehicles?
Around Hyundais. Who would have thought?
Of course there is. Oh, my God.
And another issue with an airplane on landing. United flight out of Los Angeles yesterday apparently lost a landing gear tire as it took off. The Boeing 757 was able to continue on to Denver, though, where it managed to land without incident.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 5:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. There's a story that caught my attention out of Elsewhere, Florida. I think that's what I'm going to start calling it, Elsewhere, Florida. Because it's not always South Florida. I mean, it could be, you know, like Jacksonville. It could be Central Florida. But if I say Elsewhere, Florida, I mean Eastern time zone, right?
Okay, I'll go with that one. Well, you say Eastern time zone. No,
you don't say Florida's Eastern time zone.
No, you just, well.
I kind of like it. I kind of like Elsewhere,
okay.
Florida.
Elsewhere.
I'm going to see if I settle on that or not. Anyway, out of Elsewhere, Florida, this is a really bad story, okay? At least the backdrop on this story is it has to do with a murderer. And the Florida Supreme Court hearing and upholding two first-degree murder convictions and a death sentence for a Broward County, this is South Florida, gang member involved in a 2008 crime spree. James Harold, found guilty of 18 gang-related felonies, including the murders of Eric Jean-Pierre and Clem Huynh. I'm assuming it's a Thai name or Vietnamese. Anyway, not Harald. It says both. No, Harald. Okay. The court said was second in command of a Lauderhill-based branch of the National Crips gang. So the Crips were operating in South Florida back in 08. And he was sentenced to death for the murder. The ruling said that in November of 08, Harald and two fellow gang members drove the streets of Lauderhill in search of a victim for a body count competition, which is, you know, kill as many people as you can to prove that you can kill as many people as you can. They randomly came. So this is a real life thing. They randomly came upon the victim, Eric Jean-Pierre, who had no gang affiliation, just happened to be walking home from a bus stop. They shot him in the chest, killed him. They argued at the Supreme Court that statements that he made to Lauderhill police should have been suppressed because they came after he initially asked for an attorney. And you might think, oh, okay, well, even if he did the murder, we've got rules of evidence, right? And if you ask for an attorney, you're no longer subject to police interrogation. Supreme Court in Florida rejected the argument because he changed his mind and waived his Miranda exclusion rights. Quoting from the ruling, when Harald stated that he wanted an attorney, the Lauderhill detectives acknowledged the request and began to leave the room. But Harald immediately reinitiated communication, asking whether he would be booked and if he would have to wait for an attorney. After detective answered those questions, he indicated that he wanted to sign the Miranda waiver form. So because he reinitiated communication and they talked back to him, and then he changed his mind and said that he wanted to waive his Miranda rights in signing it, then too bad. Now, I think that's the right outcome just from a process point of view because, you know, if you say you want a right to remain silent, waiting for an attorney, you have those rights. But if you behave otherwise after having been warned of those rights, that's on you, right? And in this case, obviously, a really, really evil person is, you know, going to be subject to the punishment for this. In fact, I don't know if he's, yeah, sentenced to death. That's right, sentenced to death. So, yeah, I mean, certainly have no problem executing somebody who randomly shoots people on the roadside as part of a gang competition. But I thought that was it's a very interesting case that showed up at the Florida State Supreme Court. Meanwhile, in the ongoing conversation about Joe Biden and his mental fitness and the debate and the interview, which he didn't botch but didn't do great at and raised more questions than he probably answered, and his defiant statement that I'm staying in this race. And by the way, just one quick thing on this is whether or not Biden stays in or drops out for somebody else like Kamala Harris, most likely, I am convinced that nothing is going to happen until after next week because next week is the RNC.
Republican, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not going to gift the RNC with a week's worth of talking about whoever it is or the chaos or anything. I mean, the RNC is going to spend a lot of time talking about Biden. And from a political point of view, if you're thinking about changing candidates, well, let them rail on Biden as much as they want and then change candidates the next week. You know, look at what you did. So anyway, but CNN CNN Business had put out a post of some kind trying to explain why they were, I don't know, reluctant to cover Biden's cognitive shift decline. Like all past presidents, Biden has good days and bad days. It can be tricky to report on something as difficult to define as a person aging when his opponent is a convicted felon who regularly lies and is threatened to use the government to go after his political opponents. No, it's not. You can report on both. But the fact that a man is undergoing cognitive decline, you don't ignore that just because you hate his opponent even worse, unless you're a political operative, not a news organization. Stream us.